time to tee it up with On the Tee, talking the wide world of golf from the PGA to the Champions Tour, LPGA, college, high school, and the crazy world of the Hack Nation. And here's your head of the Hack Nation and your host, Mike Rickard.
Good morning and welcome to On the Tee on the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection Radio Network and streaming live on RadioSt.Pete.com and archiving on Hoovy.tv on this June 25th. I'm Mike Rickard, the hapless hack, and the cool caddy, Oscar Garner III, the big O, sitting across from me. He was on the road last week, first tee of St. Pete, the annual fundraiser at St. Pete Country Club. We'll talk a little bit about that. We're live every Saturday right here at Ferg Sports Bar and Grill on 19th Hole Clubhouse, as I like to say. Just a driver away for Big O. And 13 wood, 8 iron, and 3 putts. And I'm at the front ticket window where there is a game of 110. It's the Pirates. You were at the game last night, young man. The Pirates and the Rays, 110 first pitch. And today we'll talk a little college golf with Pat Shriver. She is the owner with her husband Bill of Cove K. up in Clearwater. She's got a lot to talk about. She actually was in the senior U.S. Open several years ago, so she'll give us a little bit of that history. As always, the man, the John Rieger Report, from Clearwater Beach, Florida. We'll talk to John about the Travelers Championship taking place last week's. That was a superb golf tournament last week for a championship. I mean, you couldn't ask for more drama. You know, these are young names. You got to follow the game of golf to know who they are. But these young guns are just as solid as back in the day when we were watching Lefty and Sergio and Tiger go at it. This is the new regime, and us oldsters have to get accustomed to it. But it's a lot of fun to watch.
Oh, yeah. I really enjoyed watching that. Scheffler didn't really, I wouldn't say it was a choke job, but watching the rise of Scheffler, the cool man, under pressure, is the same when he's losing, same when he's winning. He's great to watch, he's great playing, and his future is bright.
They used to call, they still call him that, but he's playing right now on the seniors tour, Ernie Els, the Big Easy. That's the feeling you get with Scotty Scheffler, the Big Easy, because he doesn't get too excited, doesn't get emotional. They interview him about LIV, they interview him on topics that may have a little emotion involved, and he's just flatlines everything.
That's what I'm saying. Like the guy, whether he's, you would have thought he's either up 100, down 100, doesn't matter. He's the same guy no matter what.
As I say each and every week, we want to become here on the tee. And by the way, we got an exciting name change. We were fortunate enough to grab Florida, on the tee Florida.com. And that's going to expand our range with John Rieger up in Clearwater Beach and all the great golf from Key West all the way to the Panhandle over to Jacksonville. We're going to expand this reach considerably, the balance of 2022 and into 2023. And I think that's exciting. And then that will be on our sports channel. So a lot coming down the pipe.
Yeah, content's going to be lined up. As we grow and we have that website name under us, we're going to start dropping a lot of great content, videos, clips, everything. It's going to be beautiful.
Because growing up in Michigan, when you thought Florida and golf, they're just synonymous.
Oh, yeah, it's the Mecca. It's the
home of
everything.
I can't believe that somebody hadn't already grabbed onthetflorida.com.
Well, all the smart people are down at Ferg, so.
Thank you very much. They weren't last night, but they were having a lot of fun. And what a night. I'll just briefly go there. What a fabulous Friday in Champa Bay. You were at the game, 10th inning. Rays finally get off the schneid and beat the Pirates 4-3. And then the most important game, and nobody was listening or watching the Rays, unfortunately, get a W. But the most important game was, of course, the Stanley Cup. And it was in Bolt Arena in Denver. My son was there, and they shut their Rocky Mountain literally high. mounts up legally high, but what a game! And now they return Sunday here, 8 o'clock puck drop, and this place will be nuts.
It was crazy last night. We went to me and a couple buddies. You guys know Alex the Axe Man. That's his new name, but he doesn't know it just yet.
Well, I'm in charge, and he's the Axe Man.
He's the Axe Man.
Big going the Axe Man, my new talent.
So me and the Axe Man, him being the Pennsylvania clown that he is.
He's not a clown. Penn State and Nittany Lion.
Well, me being a Spartan, a little clowny. You know what I'm saying? I'm just keeping it real. We were over at that game. Pirates gave us a little bit of scare. We were able to handle business. Then we shoot over here, cut out just a little bit early to catch this Lightning game. And Fergs was rocking shoulder to shoulder, bumper to bumper traffic in here. Took you 20 minutes to just get a tequila lemonade.
What? Tequila lemonade? How'd that go for you? Swimmingly.
I made it here.
Yeah.
I'll just put it that way. I made it here.
I'm proud of you.
Appreciate
all right. Real quick before we go into the leaderboards. Last week you were out at St. Pete Country Club, a great event, the first tee of St. Pete. I know they appreciate it. On Father's Day, I went out to the facility. I'm really impressed with that. Twin Brooks?
Twin Brooks.
Yeah.
Par 3 course, 9 holes. It's a great course.
Perfect for the old man.
Right?
I like the driving range, though. It's got a canopy.
Yeah, one of the few.
Yeah, in this area. And I had shade. I had my YouTube TV and the U.S. Open going on. It was
you
a nice Father's Day present to myself.
A happy camper on
yeah.
Father's Day.
And back
Day
in the day, I would have had a couple coldies right alongside me, and I wouldn't have cared about not having anybody
you're
around.
You're cleaning up your act, man. You're getting a little...
Yeah, it's boring. Anyway, let's go over the leaderboards. But one last thing, folks. If you've got a charitable event, and I've got two lined up for us now for the rest of the summer and more to come, the Big O, Oscar Garner III, loves to go out to those. We give back, especially the first tee.
Of course.
Instrumental in his life. But... we're going to be over in Orlando, and we got to get the logistics of this, July 8th for the Florida Sports Hall of Fame's annual event. And it's a who's who of the Titans in sport in the state of Florida, and Barry Smith heads that up.
Going to be in there like swimwear.
Exactly. All right. So go ahead, young man, and give us that leaderboard. I'll take care of the Champion Senior Tour since that's my demographic.
Well, from the TPC River Highlands.
I kind of like that.
The Travelers Championship PGA Tour. Another fun event. Xander Schauffele in the lead, minus 14. He is a commanding lead.
Yeah, well, he's commanding a lot of attention this morning, too, because rumor has it that the 28-year-old from San Diego is going to become a defector, as I call him.
He's going across the border. Overseas.
Yep, exactly. LIB.
Gonna go fight with the troops.
Yep.
Right. Xander Schauffele.
Then I'm never mentioning his name. That's what I'm gonna start doing. We're never mentioning the live defectors on this show anymore.
Not even Brooks?
Not even Brooks Koepka of Florida State. I think he's a smug. No, you know, I'm sorry, Florida State fans, but he is smug. I think he's smug, arrogant, and he shows his true colors.
Well, I mean, when you're paying these guys 60% increase from their career earnings, a lot of people turn into smug a-holes.
Well, and that's from a financial analyst, so, you know. What would you tell one of your clients? Take the money and run?
Duck and hide. Take the money and run and hide.
All right.
And don't tell the government about it either.
Yeah, well, I don't think there's any hiding that kind of money, my man. Our kind of money we can hide. All right. Why don't you?
Yeah, right. Yeah, because we're never flying under the radar.
Yeah, why don't we go to, well, you can't know you're Raymond James. Let's go with the PGA leaderboard.
Right. Xander Schauffele, minus 14, leading Patrick Cantlay, who's next up. We got a few guys here tied for second place. We got a five-way tie for second place. Patrick Cantlay, minus 9, Harris English, Nick Hardy, Cam Davis, and Kevin Kisner all coming in tied for second place. 5 shots out of the lead there. You got
any notables?
Not
really.
Not really too much coming up. I mean, Rory
McIlroy.
Rory's tied.
You see what happened to him yesterday?
No, put me up.
A quadruple bogey. He was at 13 under. He had a nice, soft, commanding 3-stroke lead, and he got a quadruple bogey on a par 4, and fell apart. And it was sad because I even did my daily 2-minute sports report, and he was on top leaderboard. I said, and he continues his winning ways. He's probably wore out, you know. He won the Canadian. He was in the hunt all the way last week, and that takes a lot out of you. And a lot of people, they won't even actually get in. They won't even come on the following events after two majors like that.
Yeah.
So, So why don't you finish up that leaderboard, and then we got Pat Shriver waiting for us. We're going to talk a little. Make sure you do a good job, and go to the ladies, man. We got a lady on there.
Oh, yeah.
We got to give their our props and our respects, and they are finally getting respect from a purse perspective, and I'm sure she'll have some input on that.
Oh, yeah. The ladies are getting their money. KPMG Women's PGA Championship over in Bethesda, Maryland.
Correct.
Is that how you pronounce that? Okay. Inji Chun, minus 11, commanding lead,
and she,
six shots in the lead.
She's stroking it, I tell you right now.
Yeah, tied for second, a two-way tie for second right now at minus 5. Lydia Ko and Jennifer Kupcho. Hannah Green, Carolyn Inglis, Si Young Kim, and Jennifer Chang all tied for fourth place, minus 4.
And our beloved Nelly Korda is struggling, and she's not too happy with herself, but we'll talk a little bit about that. But right now, let's go to our first guest, and she doesn't remember this, but she's Pat Shriver, and in 2018, Pat, this is Mike Rickard, I actually was at your course for a radio show we did. It was a ping fitting. It was colder than bejesus. I'm from Iowa. I thought I was back in Iowa, and I don't know if you recall that, but that was a long day, and I had just moved here and got with a group of guys in the radio world, and I've since then went independent. But I had met you before.
Yeah, I remember that very well. It was a fun day. Sometimes the weather can be a little chilly in February, but we love doing our ping demo days. We had two this winter. They were awesome. It's a lot of fun. And your booth that day was very cool. I remember it well.
Well, I remember a lot of the people. Here I am from Iowa, like 6 months into it, and a lot of the people are showing up like they were dressed in Iowa, and I thought, well, it's not that cold. But for Floridians, and now that I'm down here, you know, 6 years, I feel their pain. But let's talk about how things been at Cove K.
Things are awesome at Cove K. We are so busy. It's unbelievable. We're golf course in beautiful shape. Couldn't be better. Things couldn't be better. We just got a brand new, beautiful fleet of club car carts with the fancy bucket seats. We've got GPS coming for those, and the greens are rolling nice. We're renovating the tees on the front nine right now, so we're on temp tees, but people seem to love it because on some of the holes, there are a few holes where you can try to drive the green, so it makes it kind of fun to play the golf course from a different yardage, shorter, which everybody says they don't like, but they really do. So we've still got all these 25-year-old guys lined up to tee it up here, and even with the just 10 tees on the front, and they're trying to drive the first green, and they're enjoying it. So things are going great over here.
Well, I remember a couple of factoids from the conversations that we had with you and Bill, and you're the only golf course in the region that actually has holes on Tampa Bay, if I recollect. And I'm an old man now. I may not recollect that properly, but I think that's a fact, isn't it?
Yes, it is, and we are proud of it. We've got beautiful views of the bay from holes 13 through 18. So once you hit our 13th hole, which is a beautiful par 5, once you hit your tee shot and you're getting ready to hit your second shot, you turn a corner. It's a dog leg left. So when you get around that dog leg, it's all bay from there on in, all the way down to 18. Our restaurant and patio is on the water, too. So you can have a meal inside or outside, drinks right after golf, and you're still on the bay. It's really, really beautiful, and we feel very fortunate that it's ours. We love it here.
Well, let's clarify to my three-county reach that it is Cove Cave Country Club, but it is open to the public, and that restaurant, I'm telling you, folks, she's the proprietor along with her husband, but she's being very modest. It is a cool, very cool view.
Yeah, thank you. You know what? We've traveled all over the world playing golf and pro-ams and different events, and we have yet to find a place that's better. We've been to Hawaii. We've been to Spain. We've been all over the place, and the golf courses are world-class, these trips we've been on, and even with that, The golf course has world-class views, but sometimes the restaurant doesn't. So it's really nice to be able to finish it up and enjoy yourself and look out the window or sit on the patio and be right on the water. Plus, the other incredible thing here, I have to tell you honestly, that I couldn't believe the first time we came to look at Cove K. When we came here to look at purchasing the golf course, I had been a golf professional within a 5-mile radius of this place for 25 years, and I had never been in the gate. And I, you know, the golf course was very run down. It was in horrible shape. It's been a real labor of love. But somehow I had rose-colored glasses on the first day we drove in here, and I just saw it as beautiful, and we just kept on going from there. So,
was Bill on the same page, or did you use the wife's leverage card?
You know, I didn't have to do that too much. He was on the same page, and I'll tell you, we've worked 8 days a week. We're going into our eighth year, and I'm very proud of what we've done here, and all we care about is making this the best we can make it, and that's what we're trying to do. So we love golf, and we love Cove K. I love being here. My dad, I've even got my dad sitting here with me, and he taught me, of course, how to play golf, and he's now working for us. And I've got my son's girlfriend working here. It's a real family affair. So,
I love stories like this. But let's go back and tell the audience your story in the world of golf. Where'd you grow up at? I mean, right now, you know, now you're one of the foremost teaching professionals. You've won Teacher of the Year several times from the North Florida PGA section. You're very accomplished. You probably know John Rieger. You may have run across John.
Yes.
John's on every week. He'll be on next, and he had acknowledged that he knew you. Everybody in the state obviously knows your accomplishments as an instructor. Let's talk about how you got into the game of golf. Sounds like your father got you into it, and go on from there.
Well, it is an incredible story, I have to tell you. So my dad played golf at University of Miami, and he and my mother eloped. My dad was 20. My mother was 18. They eloped. My dad came and picked her up on Christmas break, and he went to Virginia Beach. That's where I grew up. Picked up my mother. They eloped to Elizabeth City, North Carolina. They got married, and they went back down to University of Miami. My dad had to he had to support my mother. My grandfather got mad at him, and he got married, and he had to support my mother. And he got a job as a teaching pro working for Bob Toski. And he, you know, this was back in the 60s. There was a lot of mafia stuff going on down there in Miami. He taught all these people that he wasn't really sure, these New Yorkers, that he thought maybe had little mafia ties. And that was very interesting for him down there as a young man. And he traded a doctor a series of golf lessons for delivering me. And that's how it all started.
I love trade. As an entrepreneur my whole life and a small businessman, I've been telling my young protege here, by the way, he's listening with you, and he'll have a couple questions. It's Oscar Garner III, the big O. He was a caddy up at Oakland Hills. He's got some great stories as well. But your pops traded golf lessons to bring you on the planet. Of course you were going to be a golf professional.
Yeah, and then my grandfather had Bob Toski and his wife. They stayed at our house on their honeymoon in Virginia Beach. I mean, it was just crazy. My dad's parents' home. And that was back when what was it called, Dad? They were on the PGA Tour.
Virginia Beach Open.
It was called the Virginia Beach Open, and Toski came to play in the Virginia Beach Open and brought his wife on their honeymoon. And then my dad's college roommate was Charlie Staples, who everybody around here knows. And so
your family's a who's who of who's been embedded in the great game of golf. Even though it's a unique way of getting there, it's pretty cool. And I love the fact that, let's talk about your success, though. In fact, according to my unofficial producer, Gary Sermons, of late you've played in the Women's Senior U.S. Open. How was that experience?
I did. You know what? It was absolutely incredible, and I hope that I'll get a chance to do it again. I'm going to try and qualify again in a few weeks, and we'll see what happens. I'm a club pro, and most of my time is spent working now, and it's hard to make time to practice, but I'm hoping to do it again. It was one experience of a lifetime, and playing in the U.S. Open was like nothing else. I hit the ball great for 2 days, but the greens were so brutal, and the U.S. Women's Open was just there at Pine Needles, and that's where I played, and they have they've done some renovation to the golf course since I was there, and I think they've changed things up a little bit. But the greens were extremely severe, and it just, I thought I was putting great before I started, and it was all putting for me. But I loved it. I didn't make the cut, but I loved it. We had a huge entourage from Cove K. Probably like 20 of my ladies go. My whole family was there. And I called Brittany. You know, I taught Brittany Lincecum as a child. And I called Brittany. We're still really good friends. And I told her that I was going. And her advice to me was, have a good time. Enjoy yourself. You're not a tour player. Go out there and have a good time. And that's what I did. I had a great time, and I'll never forget it, and I hope I get to do it again.
I had a quick question for you. You mentioned something. By the way, this is the Big O. Let me introduce myself real quick. I had a quick question for you. You mentioned kind of you're in a space now where you don't have as much time to practice. Of course, you have a passion for the game. You love being involved, but that passion came from playing, I imagine. So can you talk about that transitioning out of being more into playing, practicing consistently, and being more on the professional side? What's the mindset shift there? I know a lot of, you know, ex-athletes have probably had to make that transition. Not calling you an ex-athlete, my apologies, but there's a transition that has to be made. Can you talk about that kind of life move and how you've been able to deal with that now?
I think the question you asked was about practice and balancing everything. Is that right?
Yeah, exactly. Going from preparing to play competitively to then going and actually teaching other players, like you said, Brittany Lincecum when she was younger, and you were an aspiring player yourself. So that transition, how did you handle that?
You know, I played on the Futures Tour for a year. I was fortunate enough to do that. And when I did that, I realized, I'll tell you what happened. I was teaching at Bardmore at the time, and that's where I taught Brittany. I taught her from the time she was probably about 8 years old until she was 14. And we have really remained close over the years. And I'm so proud of her and what she's done. But when I tried to play, and it was really a funny thing, because what ended up happening was I was helping all the other players. I'd be out on the range trying to practice, and people out there on the Futures Tour, this is a long time ago, knew that I was a teacher, and I had a carload full of product too. I was the one with all the gloves and all the balls, and I had gotten a lot of stuff from reps, and I was suited up. And people were coming to me for equipment and help and lessons. And I was helping a lot of players while I was out there. And I really realized that I enjoy that more than just being out there playing for myself. So I think I learned that the right career for me was being a club professional and a teaching pro. And I've loved every minute of it. And when I'm trying to get ready to play in golf tournaments, which I still love to compete, I'm 56 years old and I'm still trying to do it. I work out like crazy. I try to do quote unquote golf specific. Some of the workout is geared towards golf. I have a wonderful trainer. His name's Larry Mayle. He has a business called Star Care, and he trains a lot of professional athletes. And his Greg Kraft is in there sometimes. He's got some major league pitchers in there when I'm in there. So he's been a big asset for me. And so I'm trying to balance when I'm getting ready to play, working out, spending time practicing, and doing my real job too. And it's very difficult. But the year I qualified for the U.S. Open, I made my mind up in November of the year before. I try to start 6 or 8 months before the big event, really, really getting ready. So I make myself go out and practice after work. I make myself do the workouts I need to do, get enough sleep, eat right. I really enjoyed when Phil Mickelson won the PGA. I really enjoyed listening to what he had to say. It really was a turning point, I think, for me. It just reinforced what it's like for somebody over 50 to still try and be competitive. He had a lot of great things to say and talked about how hard it was for him as he's getting older to play at that high level. It's not easy. And I was fortunate to play with Annika last year. I got to play 18 holes with Annika, which was the greatest day of my golf life, I must say. It was parallel with playing in the Open, for sure. And she's such a great gal, and I enjoyed watching her play and seeing how what I could do with her and how I stacked up to what she does. And we're she's younger than I am. She just turned 50. But she's just amazing, and what a role model for all of us. And that was a big thrill for me, too. So I was just in the right place at the right time and was very fortunate to have that experience last year. So
you're listening to On the Tee, and we're talking to Pat Shriver. She is, along with her husband, Bill, they're the proprietors of Cove K Country Club in Clearwater. They have the Shriver Golf Academy, and you're listening to On the Tee on the Tan Talk Family of Stations. I'll go over the affiliates after we get done with this conversation. And I do know that your friend Gary Sermons and Janie Sermons, they also had an opportunity to play with Annika and said that she was an absolute joy and a wonderful human being. And with her incredible success, you know, you sometimes wonder how they're going to be when you meet them in person. So it's great to hear that the two people that I know had superb conversations and interaction with her.
She was terrific. I hope I get to meet her again someday. What a great gal. I just loved her. Yep.
Before I let you go, your opinion on the incredible success of Nelly and, of course, Jessica Korda, you know, from Bradenton. Have you met those young ladies?
You know, I wish I could say that I had. I know they're, I think that they are playing and practicing some at my old stomping grounds when it used to be the Bellevue Biltmore, now the Pelican. I think the Korda girls go over there and spend some time, and I hope one day I get to cross their paths. They're awesome. They, it's great to see all these young Americans doing well, and women's golf has really changed, really evolved. I would say, especially over the last 10 years, and I think Michael Wan did so much for the LPGA tour. He really put the tour, made it more worldwide, bigger purses. He's done so much for the LPGA tour. I'm sure that he's missed there, but I know they're in good hands, and happy for him now that he's got another great job at the USGA.
Well, Pat, I tell you what, I've appreciated this time to visit with you. I'm glad you remembered that we came out on that frigid day. Maybe we can put together something to come up. If you have a charity event, we've been going to a lot of events. I work with the NFL's charity events and the Florida Sports Hall of Fame. We work with the First Tee of Clearwater, First Tee of St. Pete. And any, if you've got any organizations that you deem worthy of us promoting for the charitable perspective of it, we'll certainly do that. But I'll give you a shout, and I'll come up and visit with you guys sometime here in the near future.
I would love that. Thank you very much for giving me the opportunity to talk with you today. Appreciate it.
Tell your pops hello, and I think we need to have him as a guest the next time. I want to hear his side of these stories, because that's an incredible story, and that's how I was born, but not by my dad didn't trade, but my parents were 17 and 16. That's the way it was back in the day.
That's right. Exactly. That's the way it was. And what I didn't get to tell you was that I got to miss church to go caddy for my dad in golf tournaments when I was in middle school and high school. So my mother would
home run.
Yeah, I skipped church to go caddy for my dad. That's how I learned how to teach.
Well, my dad used to say, we were out there on Sundays, he said, "This is God's church out here. We're in nature." All right,
that's
dear.
It.
Have a great weekend, and I'm sure you'll be watching the women's LPGA, and we'll talk to you soon. I'll give you a shout, and we'll come up and visit.
I really appreciate it. Thank you so much. We'd love to have you out for some golf, okay?
All right. Have a great weekend. That's Pat.
Bye-bye.
And I'll tell you what, that is a great track, young man, without a shadow of a doubt. I'm going to take care of a little business, and then we'll get a hold of The John Rieger Report up from on Crescent Beach, Florida. I actually had a property on Crescent Beach, Lake Okoboji, Iowa, right up the street from there. And so Crescent Beach is easy to remember for John Rieger. First of all, we're making some big modifications. You heard the production quality of where we're going to show with our rejoins and intros. Big city. We're going big city, buddy.
Oh, yeah. We're going global, actually, with people don't
know. Well, we are going global with a couple of announcements. But let's say hello again to our first and newest supporter and partner, and that's my Iowa friend, Barb with Champa Bay. She'll be down next week. Barb Grosenheider, she is with First Class Real Estate, Gulf to Bay. Barb brings her Midwest work ethic, her integrity, her commitment to every client, and combined with the knowledge, she grew up in a family of home construction success for decades. Her brother, her dad, in Lamar's, Iowa. And just right up the street, as I say, from my hometown. Her energy and bubbly personality, she had a nice close just this past week, takes the stress out of the challenge of home buying. She's getting closes, obviously. That means she knows what she's doing. I've given her a recommendation to several of my friends. I got another one I'm going to load her up with tomorrow. And so I'm looking forward to spreading her professional service to all of Champa Bay. Reach out to Barb with Champa Bay today at barbwithchampabay@gmail.com or give her a call, 712-540-3704. That's 712-540-3704. That's Barb with Champa Bay. Give her a call today. I didn't know you were a comedian sitting across from me, the big O. And on the tee wants to welcome, and thanks to Barb, Joe Shaw. And I love this cat. You'll be hearing a lot more from our newest partner, Joe Shaw of IMG Integrity Mortgage Group. In this crazy market we're dealing with today, Joe Shaw will navigate for you, and it's going to get wilder. If there's sincere upfront honesty to ensure you make the right decision at the right rate. Conventional, VA, USDA, FHA, give Joe a call today, 813-947-3705. That is Joe Shaw, 813-947-3705. His email is jshaw@integritymtgs.com. And that's not AMG, the Sports Academy, as I know you're thinking over there, big O. He's a Coast Guard vet, and IMG, NMLS 221-5300. That's MLS 221-5300. You work directly with Joe 7 days a week. He's got that cell phone. I can tell you he has that cell phone on because we had a meeting to get this accomplished, and it was ringing off the wall, and it wasn't his wife telling him to get home. If Joe's not your first call, he'll be your last. That's Joe Shaw, Integrity Mortgage Group. You want to do a little plug for your employer? By the way, I'm so damn proud of you. I hate to even be that mushy on the air.
You know, I wish I could, but compliance actually doesn't let me do promos on the air.
Well, there's a lot of things you have to have. That's why I had to put that MLS, that what is it? MLS and the number. Every time in the mortgage business, that proves that you're the real deal.
Yeah, no, I'm Siri certified and all that stuff, so there's actually a limit to stuff that I can say on the air about financial markets and what we do at Raymond James. But what I can say is...
Let's talk about your side action.
Oh, well, yeah, let's talk about that. For all those who don't know, Garner Commercial Services is a local Tampa Bay business. We service hospitality groups. We work with St. Pete Beach. We work with, now our newest customer is the Hyatt Place in downtown St. Pete. But Garner Commercial Services is a vending service. We offer free vending services. You know, our three favorite R's over at GCS is repairs, refills, and refunds. Basically, we're responsible for everything. Any request is fulfilled in 24 hours, and we're placing machines every 30 days. So if you need a new vending machine in your facility, snacks, drinks, anything in that nature, we'll handle it.
You're not even reading this read. I'm proud of you.
Appreciate it.
This guy doesn't need to have any reads either. I know he doesn't sit there with any notes. It's all on the top of his head. He is John Rieger. He is our resident pro, and, of course, he's up there in Crescent Beach, Florida. What's going on, my friend?
Well, Mike, you know, right now it's about 88 degrees, which is nice and cool, is relatively to other parts of the state. The winds are east-northeast, about 12 knots, seas 2 to 3 feet for the light chop. So everything's good for a nice day at the beach today.
Well, thank you for all of our East Coast listeners that are heading towards the Atlantic. I guess I won't bring my surfboard today, huh?
Well, probably not. Not good weather right now. I don't think to even catch a fish or surf, but to sit on the beach with a bucket of Corona and a couple spare batteries to watch golf on the phone and call it a day and have a good time.
What are you, the Snoop Dogg of the neighborhood? You got your Coronas in a bucket and just sitting there chilling?
Well, you know, I've been called a lot of things. I've been called a dog. I've been called Pete Snoopy a little bit, but I don't think I've ever been called Snoop Dogg.
All right, we'll give you Tony Romo does Corona commercials too. Maybe that's why you go talk to Ferg and get the Corona rep, and that'll be your sponsor.
Fantastic.
All right,
let's talk about a little golf here today. You know, I enjoyed your interview there with Golf's couple of Tampa Bay. Those two who own Pope K are, you know, the Shivers. They're wonderful teachers. They're great golf course operators. They love to play golf. They love to be competitive trying to play and even beat each other out there trying to, you know, shoot the lower score. So, what a wonderful group of people that a couple there have really done a lot for golf in Tampa Bay and has really taught a lot of kids and a lot of people how to enjoy the game. And so, if you haven't played Coquet, for our listeners out there, I know that this golf course has been around a long time. And, this golf course could have been around for about 50 years now, I think. So I think it was built sometime in the early 70s. And, accuracy is important there, Coquet, but it was really great when they bought that golf course and brought it back to life. And they've done a wonderful job. So it's very worthwhile. If anybody wanted to ever go play there, give them a call.
Well, they invited me. Is it out of my wheelhouse until I get some assistance from you or one of the pros down here?
Well, you know, Groucho Marx had that comment. He goes, any club that would want me as a member, I wouldn't want to be a member of it.
Well, I think I'm going to use the Groucho Marx line then. Because I think I would hold up. He don't even know who Groucho Marx is.
He was on Family Guy for an episode. Yeah.
Yeah. He was on. Did you hear that, John? He said he was on Family Guy for a while. My God. Oh, the youth of today, living in the present. Anyway, so have you been watching any of this U.S. Senior Championship? And talk about that the capabilities, because my buddy Judd Gibb. Is actually, he didn't make the cut, but he's a teaching professional of Iowa. And then I got another guy, Gene Elliott, amateur, and won the British and won the U.S. Open. These guys are playing, and it's kind of a cool deal for those seniors.
Well, it absolutely is. You know, it's one of those senior events that you can just walk off the street and qualify for it, meaning that you don't have to have any PJ Tour, former PJ Tour status or Champions Tour status, what have you. They do have exemptions based on performance and all kinds of other things. But literally, you know, there are senior golfers, male golfers, that, you know, they turn 50. They might be amateurs. They might be pretty good players that won their club championship or could have done well in a state championship or what have you. And, and it gives them a chance to get their game extended a little bit, you know, practice a little bit more and train a little bit more. And with the dream of actually playing in the U.S. Senior Open, which, you know, every year there's always a couple that, you know, they go, they tee it up, they qualify, and they get to play. And it's probably the greatest golf experience in their life.
Did you ever attempt to make the Open? Did you ever play in the qualifier?
I had many attempts, but I did not make it into the U.S. Senior Open, no.
You know,
somebody asked me when I turned 50, they go, John, you know, you're in good shape and, you know, you've been a good player in the past and, you're not burned out from traveling the world and playing all these tournaments and things like that. You know, why don't you go try to play on the Champions Tour? You know, you could do it. And I said, there's no way I can do that. And they go, well, you can't be negative about it. I said, I'm not negative about it. I'm realistic about it. Because here's the deal. They beat me then, they'll beat me now.
that's a very candid response. And also, looking at your bio and getting to know you a little bit better, you have been a businessman, 70% of your life in the golf industry?
Here's what happens in the golf industry. And, you know, the golf industry is such a wonderful industry to be in because you can do so many things. You can do anything you want to in golf, and especially the PGA of America expanded their classifications where you can remain a member doing different things. You know, I used to be classified as golf media in the PGA of America. You know, I've owned a golf course. I've operated multiple golf courses. I've had a golf course manufacturing company with a group of people. And, you know, it just goes on and on. But the bottom line is that to make any money in the golf business, you have to have 6 jobs all at one time. So that probably explains that to you.
What was your favorite thing to do of all those different hats that you wore? What was your favorite?
Well, the favorite thing to do is create things, create opportunities for people to play more golf and have fun. And, you know, and the creation of those opportunities might be, you know, creating a golf tournament or a social event or a junior golf camp or, you know, 9-in-1, you know, for the ladies who, you know, they're not that serious about golf, but you get a club in their hand and they go bat it around a little bit and they drink wine. I mean, there's all kinds of different creative ways you can get people into the business. And that's probably the most exciting thing because golf can be very, very creative. I know when I first...
Nine and wine?
Yeah, it's 9-in-1.
I love it.
Yeah, you like 9-in-1? Yeah, there you go. Or, you know, they have a redneck version of it, chip and dip.
Yeah, JD's the commissioner of that. And my wine and dine is W-H-I-N-E, wine and dine after I get done playing nine.
Or it's just a famous expression out there, you know, when somebody gets out there and all they're doing is whining. You just tell them, you want some cheese with that wine, sir?
Precisely. So you look at this senior leaderboard. And a guy who I've always loved, and golf fans will remember him, even though he hasn't had that story of a career. He's not a Hall of Famer, but Patrick Harrington is on top at 6-under. Steve Stricker rallied yesterday, 5-under. Rob LeBritz, I haven't seen him up there before. But Rocco Mediate was great for the game of golf. I believe it was 2008. Was it in La Jolla? Was it the U.S. Open?
That's where he lost the Tiger Woods. Yes, Tiger Woods actually had a broken leg and still managed to win that tournament. You know, Rocco came so close to winning that. That would have been obviously his career achievement. But, yeah, he's golf all-around good guy. For the listeners in Tampa Bay, he went to Florida Southern, which is over in Lakeland, and he played on the golf team with two-time U.S. Open winner Lee Jansen. And he also played with U.S. British Open champion Marco Dawson, plus a club pro who's a famous teaching pro named Tom Patry. They had quite a team there, Florida Southern. They won the national championship, and they were coached by a guy named Charlie Matlock. So he has, even though he's from Arnold Palmer territory up near Latrobe, Pennsylvania, Rocco has Florida ties, and that's where he became a golfer into his own by playing at Florida Southern. Now, this is probably back, I'm trying to think, it's got to be around about early 80s is when they all played together.
Well, Pat just brought up Charlie's name too, and not being from Florida, is he kind of the dean of coaching back in the day around here?
Well, you know, he was a coach of Florida Southern for a long time. I'm talking about Chuck Matlock. So,
Okay.
I'm sure he's deceased by now, but he's a longtime coach at Florida Southern. And what he would do is, you know, he was part of junior golf in those days wasn't localized like it is today. Like there, you know, every city's got, you know, either a first tee or a junior golf tour. You know, that you don't have to go very far to be able to play golf. And in those days, if you wanted to play junior golf, it was more of a statewide event or even a regional event. I remember going to play in the Future Masters in Dothan, Alabama. They still have that tournament today, you know. And, you know, we were 16 years old, and, you know, the four of us would hop in a car, and there off we go. You know, let's drive 400 miles and go play in a junior golf tournament. And, you know, nowadays, you know, if you're worried about your son or daughter driving right around the corner to play in a junior tournament. So, so he was of that era that what he did, he promoted, a big tournament over at Howie in the Hills at Mission Inn, for junior golf. He called it the Florida Invitational, and he actually would have, tour pros that would come and speak at the banquet. I remember Gary Cope coming to do that when he was on the tour. And all the kids would get, and parents would get to hear Gary Cope talk about golf and things like that. So, yeah, so I when I call him the dean of golf, I'd call him the dean of everything. But he was a great golf coach.
You're watching any of his travels? Did you see poor Rory yesterday with that quadruple bogey?
Yeah, you know, I'll tell you what, it just happens, doesn't it? I mean, it's, you know, he's playing so well. But, you know, it seems like he's having that one bad hole in the tournament. Seems like he gets over it, and he's just a couple too many shots back to win the tournament. Probably going to happen to him this week.
Well, let's go back to last week because I wanted your analysis, and I opened the show talking to the Big O about it. Regardless of your knowledge of who these young guns are, these kids are reminiscent of, as I said, Lefty fight, you know, battling against Tiger and Sergio, and they all, you know, went their progressive ways and had success. And I think we're looking at that new group with you know, Scotty Scheffler and Patrick Cantlay and Will Zalatoris. These young guns are the real deal.
Yeah, it's a changing of the guard, obviously. You know, Tiger Woods, he's an old man now, you know, figuratively speaking, in the world of golf. I mean, so his, you know, you've got players on the PGA Tour right now that never played golf with him because, you know, he had to take all that time off the tour. You know, for him, it's like he's just, you know, they've never seen him, you know, in person swing a golf club, some of them. You know, it's no different than some of these players like Tiger and them. They were fortunate enough to at least see Jack Nicklaus and Arnold Palmer swing a golf club, but they weren't old enough really to go follow him around the golf course and watch him play or play with him. So, you know, because they were in their older years as seniors, you know, they were still, you know, Arnie and Jack still good golfers at that time. So there's a 20-year gap there, and this is the next generation, whether it's JT, Rory, Jordan Spieth, you know, all these people. Now, what's interesting, though, is some of these people are peeling off and, you know, going to play the LIV Golf Tour, and it's interesting. There are a couple more defections this week. I saw where Abraham Answer, the golfer from Mexico, went ahead, and I'm surprised at that because he's, you know, young up-and-comer. You know, and he's had some success on the tour. And I was just kind of surprised. The DP, which is the European Tour, the DP Tour, is now banning their European members on their tour that went to play in the first LIV golf tournament. So they're banned from the Scottish Open. And it's going to be interesting to see how that goes. You know, I was surprised at that because the European Tour, I mean, certainly could use an economic boost from the Saudis. I'm surprised they're not going to merge their tours or do something together. So, you know, more news at 11 about that. You know, people are getting tired of hearing about this, but they're, you know, they've got people who are going to play the LIV Golf Tour. The latest one was his meltdown at the Travelers yesterday. Was Jason went to that tour. You know, he's had quite a few wins on the PGA Tour, and you know, he's still a young guy. But you know, and I don't know if you saw that. Yeah, I don't know if you saw that where he, I guess he was going to miss the cut, and he just decided to jack one up over the green into the parking lot deliberately and leave, which is pretty dangerous to begin with. But and there he goes. So yeah, more news at 11. But now they're talking about women's golf a little bit with that tour too. Like they might make a run at the LPGA. But you see what the PGA Tour did? You know, Monahan just announced they're going to have, I think it's like 8 tournaments that the prize purse is, you know, going to be, you know, $20 million and is not going to be cut. And they're going to take the top 50 on the tour and play them. You know, all of a sudden they came up with $160 million to play with. And that's what exactly Phil Mickelson and some of these players are talking about, where they knew the tour has the money, but they weren't playing for it. And interesting enough, but professional golf is about the money. And all of a sudden they came up with it. So on one side it makes the tour look good, like, okay, you know, we're going to have to, you know, up our game. But on the other side, it looks like, why didn't they do that couple of years ago?
Well, I just read an article this morning in the New York Post. Xander Schauffele, who sits on top of the leaderboard at the Travelers right now, John, as you're well aware of, he had an interesting perspective because they say he's on the fence. And he said, what I really want to see is the four majors step up to the plate with much, much larger purses. He says, because we all know that they have it. He said, I haven't made a decision yet. I want the PGA Pro to be proactive from now on, not reactive. And he's got a very good point there.
Well, you know, it is interesting. I know for years, everybody assumes that because you have a major championship, that you make a lot of money as an organization. And you do, generally, when times are good. There's been times where the PGA Championship didn't make any money, and it seriously affected the PGA of America's finances. But there is a lot of money at stake at the majors. It usually is the number one revenue producer for each organization that owns that major. And it's something that the players have always wanted to keep playing for more money, and they keep upping the purses. The purses at major championships are pretty substantial. You know, even the KPMG LPJ championship going on, you know, that's actually heavily involved. It's a joint venture between the PGA of America, not the PGA Tour, but the PGA of America and the LPJ. And so it's got $9 million purse for the ladies. You know, the ladies this next year are going to play for $97 million. And, but it wasn't always like that for the ladies tour. You know, 5-6 years ago, you know, they were playing for like, you know, maybe $20 million. And Mike Wan, who's now the you know, the executive director for the USGA, well, he was the commissioner of the LPGA, and he kind of rescued it from maybe going under to, you know, having those global golf series where they're able to play for a lot more money, have a lot more tournaments. He kind of revitalized it back. He ended up jumping to the PGA Tour for a while, helping them out to expand their deal. So this guy is probably one of the great golf executives of all time. And so as a result, you know, they're playing for more money, but this KPMG is $9 million purse. It's the biggest purse in ladies golf. Whereas in men's golf, you know, these tour pros want $20 million purses. You know, they're playing for $9 million. They want $20
million. Well, you are our golf analyst. You opened up this segment as our on-site meteorologist with your Atlantic Ocean preview. I'll give you a brief snapshot here. We're looking at the Trop. It's a little muggy, overcast, and 110 first pitch, the Pirates. But I got to let you go, my friend. As always, I appreciate coming on each week and providing us with some brilliance and information on the world of golf that people like to hear. And I'm going to need a 30-second superb golf report promo for John Rieger. How about that?
Oh, then I better give Jim Nance a call then.
All right, buddy. All right, have a great weekend, man.
Hey, let's throw one more sport in. Go Bolts.
Go Bolts. You got it. Great game, and it'll be crazy. Come on down to, you got to get down to St. Pete. I'll find a place to put you up, but I got to run right now. That's the great John Rieger and the Rieger Report. Thanks for coming on, young man, again, as always, and providing your youth and your wisdom.
Always a pleasure, especially with the Groucho Marx stuff.
Always a pleasure. Thank you for the youth comment. Appreciate that.
All right. That's John Rieger and the Groucho Marx. You don't even know who Groucho Marx is. That's sad. Google it. From the Ferg Sports Bar and Grill Clubhouse, I'm Mike Rickard for Oscar Garner III, the Big O, John Rieger, Joe Boudreau, and Big Ed on the controls. Thanks for listening to On the Tee as we share the great game of golf with you every Saturday right here from Ferg Sports Bar and Grill's 19th Hole Studios. Remember, God bless you, God bless America, keep it in the short grass, and hit them straight.
WTAN Clearwater
FM 106.1
WDCF Dade City
FM 102.3
WZHR Zephyr Hills
FM 104.3
Listen.